Part 9. The Wolf. Chapter 17. The storm begins deceptively, with flakes soft and delicate and dancing as they descend. But soon the snowfall grows heavier and a stiff wind rises. The soil is quickly covered with a thin coat of white, which eliminates ground tracking for prints. Lulu's eyes have moved up as he searches for disturbed brush, bent branches, spider webs broken in someone's recent passage. The trail grows vague, but not impossible to follow, and Lulu presses on with Kimball at his back. To Lulu, there is something sacred in the fall of snow or of rain. Blessings from the heavens, they sustain life. And if sometimes they create difficulties for humans, that's not the fault of nature. The fault is in the nature of man. Humans, Lulu believes, are far too focused on doing and not enough on being. Usually when he's in a wilderness like this, his inclination is to stop, sit, meditate, absorb, appreciate. He feels as if the woods speak to him. Those moments are the best in his life. But this is a different kind of moment, one that requires another part of himself. He's focused on doing. Much to his dismay, he begins to see the snow as an obstacle, an enemy instead of a thing of mystery and beauty. The storm has descended in force, and he can barely see the woods around them. Their prey might well be anywhere, and maybe like herring, just waiting for them to come into rifle range. The wind whips the bushes and brush, and he can no longer see signs. He finally delivers the news to Kimball.
We have to stop.
This storm will make them stop too. We can still catch up with them.
We won't.
Christ, if we stop, we'll lose them.
We've already lost them.
You lost their trail?
A while back. I've just been moving in the direction they were headed. They could have veered off, taken a turn. In fact, if I were them, that's exactly what I would have done and counted on the snow to hide the fact. They could be anywhere now. Best to stop, wait for the storm to pass, and pick up their trail after. We may have to wait until morning.
They could be long gone by morning.
They're tired. I could see that in the signs they were leaving before the storm hit. If they're smart, and believe me, they are, they'll hole up somewhere and wait for the storm to pass. Without a moon, it will be too dark for them to see their way, so they won't move until morning, and they won't be able to walk without leaving tracks. I'll find them then.
Even in the cold wind and snow, Kimball's eyes blaze. I want them today.
Look around you.
Lulu swings his hand in a wide arc across a landscape where the storm makes everything appear as if seen through a layer of gauze. Tree trunks are vague black stripes against a white wall, and deeper, the woods are nothing but vague suggestions of shape.
They could be anywhere. Sighting a rifle on us even now, and we'd never know it until we were hit.
You think they have a rifle?
The gun rack in the old man's cabin was empty.
A man 100 years old who probably can't see well enough to shoot anything except his own foot.
Maybe one of the women with him can shoot. You want to take that chance?
Son of a bitch, Kimball whispers and studies the storm. What about the men behind us?
Herring might be able to take care of them. If not, the snow will give them the same problems it's giving us. If they're smart, they'll wait it out somewhere. If they're not, they'll just get themselves lost.
All right, let's call it. But just until the storm passes, we may be able to track them again today. Lulu thinks not, but refrains from saying so. Instead, he says,
best find a place to hunker down.
They take shelter in the lee of an outcropping flanked by thickets of sumac. Lulu gathers wood, shakes off the snow, and gets a fire going. It's not an easy process, but he's built fires under worse conditions. He's dressed well enough to endure the cold, and the fire is less for warmth than to help alter the gloom of the man who's hired him. A fire, Lulu well knows, can work magic on the human spirit, lift up a flagging soul. Kimball is thinking like a man who believes he's already been beaten. Lulu needs him to think clearly, and a few hours beside a warming fire and out of the bitter wind might be just the ticket. They have not brought food supplies. That was Kimball's call. A quick in-and-out operation on Crow Point, extract the woman, silence any witnesses, and disappear. Aside from their sat phones and firearms, Kimball believed no supplies were necessary. Lulu thinks the man must never have been a Boy Scout. Be prepared means nothing to him. Lulu, on the other hand, has brought along sustenance in the form of trail mix and jerky, which he keeps in an inside pocket of his camo jacket. He could have offered food to the others, but wisely waited, knowing that if another day was required to bring down their prey, it would be best if they had something to keep their energy from failing them in the home stretch. Now he reaches into his pocket, pulls out a packet of trail mix, and hands it across the fire to Kimball.
"Probably hungry," Lulu says. "I know I am."
Kimball looks at the offering as if it's as unexpected as a moon rock. "Thanks." He tears it open and downs it greedily. Then he eyes Lulu. "Not eating?"
"Not yet."
"Got any more?" Lulu pulls out a strip of jerky and hands it over. Kimball tears off a bite of the dried meat. "Oh, God, does this taste good," he says while chewing. When he's finished, he lies back against one of the rocks that shelter them. "Yesterday feels like forever ago. I thought we'd have the woman by now, and the info and the job would be done."
"What did you know about the old man before we hit his cabin?"
"Nothing, really. The Morriso woman was our objective. Once we had the location from the tracker Fredericks planted, it was a simple extraction. Whoever this Malou is, I figured we'd just ice him and disappear the body. Somebody must have tipped them off we were coming."
"You said he's a medicine man of some kind."
"I knew a healer, a yellow knife, Dena. Old man, but probably not as old as this Malou. I visited him many times, and every time he seemed to know that I was coming. He told me that the woods talked to him."
"Maybe the woods talked to this old man Malou."
Kimball shakes his head. "We've got a leak somewhere. Soon as we're out of these woods, I'll figure out who and plug that leak."
He closes his eyes. In a few moments, he's breathing regularly, sleeping.
Lulu is tired, too. Not much sleep the night before, followed by a long day of tracking. He would like to close his eyes and rest. Instead, he sits with the wind howling past their little shelter and the snow gathering deeper on the ground, and he considers the possibility that somewhere out there is a man who may well beat him in the only thing Lulu has ever been any good at.
When Kimball wakes, he wakes cranky.
"God damn it, why didn't you tell me the storm passed?"
"Stopped snowing only half an hour ago."
"Then we should have been off by now."
"It's twilight. Not enough light left to see anything, and it'll be dark soon."
"That old man is probably out there right now making tracks we can follow."
"Out there? Where?"
"Isn't that what I pay you to know?"
"You pay me to find them. If I'm out of commission, I can't do that."
"Out of commission? They're just a couple of women and an old man, for God's sake."
a man we really know nothing about.
You told me you could track them. Kimball's sat phone vibrates. He answers it and listens. Roger that. Have you got the chopper ready to go? Good. Let our people know we'll still make the deadline and keep me posted. He slips his phone into his pocket. A search plane is scheduled to take off at first light. If our prey gets spotted, we'll know exactly where they are.
Fredericks, huh?
Lelou nods toward the sat phone. The man's good at his job. Tapped into all their communications. We'll know everything that search plane knows. I've got a chopper lined up to extract us once we have Dolores Morisseau. But the guys who are tracking us are still on our tails, and they found Herring.
Did he talk?
I'm guessing no. He understands what'll happen to him if he does. But these guys behind us worry me.
No need to panic. That snow has wiped out every trace of a trail. It's already too dark to see anything clearly. They're not stupid. They'll wait until morning to begin tracking again.
Kimball nods with a look of satisfaction on his face and holds up the sat phone. Once Fredericks gives us the woman's location, we'll complete this mission and get the hell out of here. We can still meet the deadline.
Lelou makes a sudden grab for the sat phone, snatches it from the man's hand before Kimball can react.
He shatters the device against the wall of their shelter. He picks up his Weatherby meat eater and levels it on Kimball.
Give me Herring's phone.
What the hell are you doing?
Give me Herring's phone, or I'll shoot you where you sit.
Have you gone crazy?
Just give me the phone.
Kimball reaches inside his jacket and brings out the sat phone.
Toss it to me.
When he has the phone, Lelou destroys it in the same way he did the other. And then he glares at Kimball and says in a voice whose menace is impossible to miss,
I don't need anyone telling me where they are. I'll find them in my own way.